Tip today, in association with Slattery's of Pocón, your main Peugeot dealer for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.
Good morning, welcome along to Tip Today, 1800-938-007. Our free phone number, won't cost you anything to make that call, and Ali is looking after the programme today. Coming up on this morning's show, the lifting of restrictions. We'll give the details on what's expected to be announced by the Taoiseach this evening. Body cameras for the Gardaí, should they be introduced? The resignation of Arlene Foster and what it means for Northern Ireland. A date has been set for an important meeting on the future of the Dean Maxwell home in Ross Grey. We'll have our farming slot with Katrina, and Muriel Cuddy will join us to talk about toxic symptoms in the body and what to look out for. So all of that and lots more over the next 3 hours. But first of all, let's have a look at what's making headlines in our newspapers today. To the Irish Indo Forest, and in fact on the front page of all of the major newspapers today, pictures of Arlene Foster. As you know, at this point she's due to step down as Northern Ireland's First Minister at the end of June and party leader in May, bowing to pressure from members of her Democratic Unionist Party who are rather unhappy at her leadership over Brexit, I suppose, and some social issues as well. We'll be talking about that a little later on in the programme. The banner headline on the Indo today, County travel to get the green light from May 10th, and people could be allowed to travel freely throughout the country from May 10th under plans being discussed by the Cabinet Committee on COVID-19. Also mention of house sales to first-time buyers at highest level since Celtic Tiger, can you believe? House sales to first-time buyers are the highest level since the days of the Celtic Tiger, despite the pressures of the pandemic. Let's have a look at the Irish Times. And again, mention of Arlene Foster on the front of the Times today. The Taoiseach says that he's paying tribute indeed to the courage shown by Foster. Also, the banner headline, plan for faster reopening goes to Cabinet. And that's reflected in all of the newspapers today as well. The Cabinet will be presented today with a plan for a quicker than expected reopening of the social and economic life in the next 2 months following lengthy talks between health chiefs and the leaders of the coalition parties last night. So some good news there. And to the Examiner right now, again, Arlene Foster playing a part in the makeup of the front page there. And the vaccine bonus to allow more family visits, and Ali will talk to us about this in just a few moments. But unvaccinated people will be allowed to travel across the country to visit vaccinated grandparents and parents from May under plans to be announced today by the Taoiseach. And also on the front of the Examiner, chilling effect of bank exits on market. The decision of Ulster Bank and, of course, KBC as well, to close their doors is already having a chilling effect on competition in the mortgage market as home loan borrowers turn to much more expensive rivals, leading brokers have warned. So that's a look at what's making headlines in some of our newspapers today. You can text and WhatsApp 083-311-3311. You can email tiptoday@tipfm.com. First of all, this morning, people will be allowed to travel throughout the country from May 10th as part of widespread easing of restrictions. Now, the Cabinet will meet today to finalise the plans, but once again, details of what is to be expected to be announced have been leaked. And our own Alison Hyland joins me now in studio just to go over some of the details. Morning, Ellie.
Good morning.
What are we expecting this evening, Ellie?
Well, what we are expecting is that May 10th will be the big date, and that's when everything kind of starts to open up again. So what we're expecting on May 10th is that people, as you said, will be allowed to travel throughout the country, that the county boundary restriction will be lifted. Now this, I think this comes as a bit of a surprise because we weren't expecting this until June. So it's welcome news, especially for people who have been following the rules and have, you know, been cooped up in their own county and within their 5K restriction for the past few months. Now, also on May 10th, hairdressers, barbers and other personal services, so that would be like beauticians and things like that, they will open on the same day, that's May 10th. And also from May 10th, three households can now meet in back gardens. Up until now, The last week, it was two families were allowed to meet, but only outdoors and not in your own back garden. So that will change from May 10th. You can meet up with two other households, so three altogether, and you can meet in the back garden. Now, then we move to June 2nd after that. That's all happening on May 10th. Then June 2nd, we have hotels, guest houses and B&Bs all returning from June 2nd. So that's kind of just ahead of the June bank holiday weekend, which would be very welcome to those industries who've been suffering over the past few months. And then restaurants and pubs are allowed to reopen for outdoor services only, and that's 5 days later.
And the 9 euro meal is no longer
gone. Yeah, it's gone. Yeah. Now, what does need to be clarified is that all dining is outdoors, but what happens in B&Bs and hotels, because if you're staying there, it's not always possible to eat outdoors. So the government does need to clarify that, and they're expected to do so this evening. Also, one of the important things for people who are vaccinated is a household who's been vaccinated will be able to visit a household who hasn't been vaccinated and will be allowed indoors as well. So that's particularly important for grandparents, maybe who haven't seen grandchildren in months and months. So,
what's the story with the churches and worshipping, Ali? What's the latest on that?
So from May 10th, 50 will be allowed at a church to worship. Now, I presume they will bring in, churches will have to clarify that, of course, as well, how they will do that. I presume they'll do it the way they did it last year as well. It was, you logged in for church, wasn't it? And you booked in, essentially, to go to Mass. Now, weddings won't come under that auspice either, though. They will still be restricted to 15 if it's an outdoor ceremony and 6 if it's indoor. So,
right, so no change,
in that. To weddings.
Right.
Or funerals yet. But I would expect there will be some change to funerals given, you know, there's been a lot of pushback on that. And, you know, rightfully so, it's been very difficult for families to limit numbers to 15.
Yeah, so much so that I even wonder about the fallout from it, Ellie.
Absolutely. You know, and the psychological fallout of that is going to be huge.
Not being allowed to grieve
exactly,
properly,
or support family in that.
So the details will come from the Taoiseach, I guess,
6 o'clock
this
evening, I think. Just to clarify that, I think it's 6 o'clock this evening. Micheál Martin is due to make that announcement. But as always, it's been linked. We know much of it.
For sure. There's a surprise. Thanks, Sally. 1800 938 007 if you want to speak to Ellie this morning. Now, Garda body cameras will not record all of the time, will instead be only activated by Gardaí in certain situations under a new system being considered by management. Now, the introduction of body cameras was recommended, as you know, by the Commission on the Future of Policing way back in 2018 and supported by some Gardaí. However, the recommendation also prompted privacy concerns from civil liberty campaigners. Tom Finnan is the GRA rep for Tipperary, and Tom joins me now. Good morning to you, Tom.
Morning, friend.
Good to talk to you today. How do you feel, first of all, just about body cameras, Tom?
We're looking for body cameras there for many years from a GRA point of view, and we think it's an essential part of our operational kit, or essential for policing. And it's for the benefit of everybody, friend. From ourselves, who are subject to a lot of oversight, and for the public out there. Like, for instance, if we go to a domestic incident, find in a house or in a backyard or in somewhere that we're called to a domestic, and the person who is in fear at the time doesn't want to follow on with a statement, the body camera can activate and see exactly what went on, and that's evidence. Like, where.
So that can be used in a court situation then, Tom?
I would believe so, Frank. I haven't seen the law yet. The law hasn't gone on its way through the door. But we're calling for these cameras for many, many years for protection for our members and protection for the public. And, like, Frank, last year we had over 1,000 members assaulted. And if those members had body cameras, it would show the real effects of an assault and to save time.
Of course, but what about the notion that they won't be on all of the time and you will have to make that split-second decision as to whether or not you activate the camera, Tom?
But if they were to give them to the members in Tipperary next week, I would be advising the members out in the frontline duty to have them on at all times.
Right, okay. So the moment you step out of the car, you think they should be activated?
I think they should be on at all times when you're interacting with any member of the public, but it is good, bad or indifferent.
Right. In terms of your members, if I could ask, oh, by the way, when are you expecting this to come into law, Tom?
I'd say to be law by the end of this year, early next year, friend, but as you know yourself, these are a dear piece of equipment.
Yes.
How many members are going to get them? How many members are they going to be specifically just for care crews or people on the beat? That all has to be ironed out, friend, but I believe every member should get one for their own protection, because right, they're an essential piece of modern policing equipment.
Yeah, I watched some of those programmes on satellite TV, and it appears that your colleagues in Britain, Tom, it is part of their kit.
It is, friend, and you see the benefits there.
Yeah.
That they have to put up with outside nightclubs and pubs in large crowded areas, and that's no different to what we've to police pre-pandemic events, like, you know,
right,
matches, concerts, disturbances. You know, everything will be garnished onto this piece of body yeah, camera, and then it's stored, and the guards have no, don't interfere with the storage. The storage is kept at a central location, and it's downloaded then if it's needed.
My only problem from your own point of view would be that once you click these things on, everything has to be the letter of the law, and any utterance from you or your colleagues, Tom, can be challenged in a court then, you know? It can get down to semantics at that point. Do you have any concerns over that?
I don't, friend, because we're a professional body.
Yeah.
We have to be professional at all times. And my members go through a lot of fictitious complaints through GSOC and other agencies, friend. So if these are on at all times, the truth can be told.
Mm. And you have no problem with that whatsoever?
I don't think any member of Garda Síochána who is wearing a body camera and is on him and is activated can have any bother with the downloading of any sort of incident. And the members will be seen to be dealing with it correctly, please God. And anyone that isn't dealing with it correctly will have questions to answer.
I was talking to Ali there about some of the lifting of restrictions, but, you know, you guys have been on the front line of trying to police some of the restrictions already, and we saw that incident, which must have been very difficult, where the Gardaí had to go into the church in Athlone. How are you on that at this point? Because that could happen in Tipperary. I mean, if you get a complaint, you're going to have to act on it, and even if that means you're going into a house of worship, Tom.
And I suppose common sense has to prevail. The complainant may have a reason to complain. It'll all have to be ironed out. Places of worship, like, not just Catholics, Protestants, or any other denomination. Like, we don't know where all these synagogues are or anything like that, or what other religious people are doing within their own religious background.
Mm-hmm.
Just because there's a complaint against the church, that doesn't mean there's big large gatherings in houses or other areas where people aren't seeing what's going on. So I think it all has to be weighed up, friend, and common sense. And like, if people want to pray, they want to pray. We're a Catholic country, and we have very Catholic, big Catholic virtues here in Ireland. So, well, we did have, I don't know how big they are now, but from my point of view, if a person wants to go and pray, look, friend, there's been funerals where large people have gathered at funerals, and there has been common sense prevailed at that. So all I can say is the pandemic has bore a lot of negative press about gatherings and about people meeting here, there and anywhere. But like, it's up to us to judge it on its merit.
And you're saying that you'd use common sense in a situation where, even if more people than are allowed gather in a situation of worship, you're saying you'd use common sense?
Yeah, or you'd go to the person that's in charge of the worship and you'd advise him, does he know the regulations regarding COVID and could he adhere to them?
Right, but it would be low key, is what you're saying to me, is that it? It would be.
Well, my personal opinion is that it would be low key, fine, because, like, we all know who's going to the churches, and it's basically people of a certain age.
Mm.
And, like, a lot of people, especially of aged people, have found COVID very, very hard.
Yeah.
So, do you penalise them for going to say a prayer? I don't know. My view would be different to, maybe different to anybody else's. I don't know. I have my views. Another girl might have their views. But all I can say is that if a person of age wants to go out to say a prayer and they go into a church and they don't count how many is there because they're probably not even thinking how many is there, they won't go in to say a prayer.
Yeah, it's not a problem as far as you're concerned.
I don't see it as a problem because where's the problem in praying? Where's the problem? Like, I can't see a problem in it. Right. And if the complaint is valid, the person who is congregating the people there, as in the parish priest or the local curate or whoever is taking the prayer ceremony, they have to be informed that they're beating COVID and could they adhere to the guidelines and send people home.
Can I finally ask you before I let you go, Tom, we've had some people making observations more than complaints that, you know, there appears to be very few checkpoints at the moment. And, you know, if you're to police inter-county travel and all of this kind of thing, is that your experience or is it just optics?
No, my experience, Ryan, is that checkpoints are still going ahead.
Mm-hmm.
We're out there in the public in force and I don't see any let up in checkpoints anywhere, in Tipperary, anywhere, friend.
Right.
If people have seen them in elsewhere, I don't know how people can say that if they're driving from Tip to Dublin and they're going from Cashel up to Newlands Cross, you won't see a checkpoint on the motorway.
Right. So as far as you're concerned, checkpoints are still happening?
They are happening, yeah. I was on them last night.
Right.
So I don't know where that theory is coming out of, Fran, because we're policing the pandemic as best we can.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to stay safe as well and not bring home COVID to our own families. And we're not vaccinated.
Mm.
And, you know, that's a matter that was on with you there earlier in last month or whatever it was. We're not vaccinated. And that's in itself is a disgrace that we're not vaccinated. Now we're on an age policy when we should have been up in or around after the health care workers. Mm.
Is there a lot of disquiet among your members about that? That it is that the criteria is about age as opposed to people like yourselves on the front line.
Correct. Yeah. A lot of disquiet. A lot of people giving out, and people saying, "Look at the way we are being treated." And that's not just guards, friend. Numbers of the public will come up to the checkpoint, and they'll say, "Are you the fellow that was on the radio there with friend?" Yeah, I am. Unfortunately, I was. Yeah, and I just said, "Yeah, well, you spoke really well, and you told the truth, and you said what's right. You should be vaccinated, and you should be vaccinated before the majority."
And that's how the general public—that's the reaction you're getting from the general public on this.
The general public, friend, anyone you meet, and I'm sure you're hearing it yourself.
Mm. Yeah.
That anyone that comes across the guard checkpoint and they see the guard, probably not in their faces or in the window, they're 6 feet away, you know, with a mask on. Because we don't know who we're stopping from. And the person that's stopping doesn't know who we are unless they know us and they meet us on a regular basis at a regular checkpoint.
Mm. Are there still some of your members out with COVID, Tom? Is that still an issue?
There is, yeah. There's a certain percentage of members out with long COVID, friend.
With long COVID?
Long COVID, yeah, where it affected their respiratory system and lungs and things like that. And they're not in good places, man. And they're trying to recover. They're trying to get back to work. And their energy levels are poor.
All right, Tom, thanks very much for your time this morning. Thanks for coming on with us. Good morning to you. That's Tom Finnan there, GRA rep for Tipperary.
Tip FM's Tip Today with Fran Curry. In association with Slattery's of Facon, Tipperary's main Peugeot dealer. Slattery's Garage Facon, the name you can trust for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.